You're listening to New Retirement Radio, brought to you by the team at Prout Financial Design.
Hello, I'm your host, Certified Financial Planner Dennis Prout.
I'm Heidi Cartwright, Financial Advisor and RICP.
I'm Shea Pataja, and I'm here for the stats and laughs.
Investment advisory services offered through Capital Asset Advisory Services, LLC, a registered investment advisor. Securities offered through Genios Wealth Management Incorporated, member FINRA SIPC. Opinions expressed on this program do not necessarily reflect those of Capital Asset Advisory Services. The topics discussed and the opinions given are for informational purposes only and are not intended as financial, tax, accounting, or legal advice and are not intended to address the specific needs of any listener. Listeners are encouraged to discuss their individual needs with an appropriate professional.
And welcome back to New Retirement Radio here on WTCM with Prout Financial Design. Everybody's, well, not everybody, almost everybody's back in the studio, led by Mr. Dennis Prout. Good morning, sir.
It is great to be here. Thank you, Ron, on this Thursday, May 19, 2022. It's a pleasure to be here on a gorgeous spring day. And joining us today, the Heidi Cartwright, RICP and Managing Executive at Prout Financial.
Good morning. It's great to be here today, and it is beautiful outside. The trees, the flowers are just awesome.
I don't know how they arranged that. We were joking about it beforehand. Hey, Bob, we got to turn on your mic there.
Well, you should be good there, Bob.
All right.
There we
all
go.
Right.
He's back.
There he is.
He's back.
Bob Simpson, Director. District manager, rather, of the Traverse City Social Security Office, but the district manager of Petoskey and areas surrounding Northern Michigan.
Right, Petoskey,
here.
Cadillac, and Traverse City.
Excellent.
Yeah, Northern Michigan.
Yep. Love it.
It's always a pleasure having you in, Bob. You are a planner representative, if you will, for Social Security Administration. I just added a moniker to you, but you're so thorough, and we were going over the ins and outs of Social Security before the show, and really appreciate you joining us because I'll just say it, I think you do a great job of representing Social Security, and you've taken this whole planning thing to heart personally.
Yes.
It means something to you.
Very much so.
And
I live it.
Yes,
I live it.
You really do.
So thank you, Dennis.
You're welcome. Now, we're covering today an article written by Heather Schreiber. Actually, it's a newsletter, Heather Schreiber, somewhat sponsored through the EdSlot organization. And by the way, before we move on, we were at the EdSlot conference last week.
Yes, we were, learning lots of new stuff.
You bet.
Where was that?
Kansas City.
Really?
Missouri.
Yeah. We had a little barbecue.
It was good. Indeed, it was good. Nathan attended with us as well. Our intent is to have him on next week to kind of introduce the audience to Nathan. He is Jill and I's youngest son. He has been in the practice with us now about 8 years, and he attended his first conference like this with Ed Slott and us ever. So last week, so he was diving right in there with us. It was really fun to have him along. So what fun! So we intend to talk about what's going on in the IRA universe next week, and a review of that class as well. But today, Social Security, discovery questions for single adults. Well, I'm not single. Well, you might be at some point.
That's right. And, you know, we talk about married couples a lot on the show when we talk about Social Security. So we just thought we'd take a different look at things today, this week, and look at it from the single side, because like Dennis said, I mean, even if you're married now, at some point you could be a remaining spouse and you may need to know some of the rules. And then there's lots of people out there who are single or have become single in their lifetime, and they need to know how the rules work for them.
Or even previously married, which we talked about. And thank you for the music there. Let's turn that down, shall we? Thanks, Ron. Just kidding.
All right.
So, Social Security discovery questions for single adults, single stats. First of all, we'll cover some of the stats. Either way, asking thoughtful discovery questions can lead to insightful answers, and that comes right into what you said you do, Bob.
Oh, very much so. At Social Security, we ask a lot of questions. And why do we do that? We ask a lot of questions because we are searching for prior marriages, jobs. Make sure we have all your earnings on your earnings record. Make sure we list all your marriages, because we want to make sure that you're entitled to what you're entitled to. And we don't know unless you tell us.
When to claim and reveal areas that may have been left uncovered had this approach not been taken.
Right.
Is what they said in this newsletter. Right. And by the way, you said this was great stuff,
great,
too.
Great newsletter. A lot of good information.
Great.
Good
so single stuff. Stats. According to SSA, among all elderly recipients, 70% of singles rely on Social Security for 50% or more of their income.
It's a lot 70%. Of money.
70%. It is.
It's a lot of people.
Moreover, 3 out of 4 women are widowed by age 75. What's that say about us there, Ron?
That we
not looking
look
good.
Out.
I don't know. I'm pretty comfortable with that stat.
We get no respect. Yes.
Well, you know what these stats tell me as a planner. You mentioned Dennis. I'm a planner. Folks, we need to plan.
Yeah.
Plan. That's what we need to do.
So claiming considerations for single individuals, the first point seems rather obvious. How is your health?
Yeah.
This is a key question for people concerned mainly about their own prospects without a spouse to consider. People in great health might delay Social Security benefits as long as practical. Now, the interesting stat about this was that men tend to overestimate their life expectancy. Women tend to underestimate by about 5 years.
Wow.
So just when you thought you were going to live to 90, if you're a guy, well, count on maybe a bit less. All right? According to the stats. Or, obviously, if you're a listener to this show, which, frankly, you are. I get it.
Or they wouldn't be
or
listening.
Or if you That's have right. a dog, or if you attend a financial course, those are the three that I'm immediately aware of, your life expectancy tends to be longer.
Yeah.
Longer. So most likely you are not in the averages. What we're quoting today are averages. All right? A January 2020 report from the Society of Actuaries entitled It's probably 300 pages long. Mm. Longevity Perceptions and Drivers, How Americans View Life Expectancy, found that roughly half, 51% of survey respondents in the 50-plus age group misestimated their life expectancy. So try to be, if you will, a bit more aware of your longevity expectations. And they often, I've heard this again and again, you know, I didn't think I was going to make it this long. Obviously, that may not be the case. But try to plan for a longer life expectancy. The average 65-year-old male can live to be about age 84. Average female to around age 87.
Hmm.
All right?
You're saying if you hit 65 as a male, then you get a good chance of making it to 80.
84.
84, rather. Okay.
Yeah. Average.
Yeah.
Average, again. So It may well be the other courses that I've taken in regards to this is it's amazing. If you're in good health, you can look to your ancestors for longevity. You've taken care of yourself, as I received also. If what the keys to longevity are, social interaction. Social interaction is number one, according to an excellent TED video. TED Talks video, if you will, I got from a client. I won't mention even his first name, but it was phenomenal. The keys, the number one indicator is positive, healthy social interaction.
Agreed.
Oh,
we
my
need
gosh.
It. We're human we beings. Do. We need it.
That's right. Yeah.
Number two, what other assets can be tapped for retirement income besides Social Security? Now, Bob, why would that be important?
Well, because, you know, you don't want to just live on Social Security alone.
Yeah.
It's a great benefit. It's going to be with you for life, but it's not meant to replace your entire income. It's meant to replace about, you know, 30, 40% of what your wages were.
What would you say to the idea of someone collecting earlier from their retirement account and holding off on collecting Social Security if that were the case? How do you think about
that? Well, the longer you wait for your Social Security, the higher the benefit's going to be. So if your full retirement age, which is going to be 66, 67, depending on what year you were born, if you wait After that, you're getting 8% return.
After when? Sorry.
After your full retirement age. You're getting 8%. So up until age 70. So where are you getting 8% today?
I don't know, not Social Security. In the market, I don't think.
Not in the market.
And that is a guarantee. So what if someone, instead of collecting at 62, decides to wait to full retirement age? Is there a general increase that they're going to see between age 62 and 67?
Yeah. Between 62 and 67, it's about 5, 6% increase every year. And then after 67, it's 8%.
Wow.
So we figure your benefit based on your full retirement age to highest 35 years of work.
Right.
And then if you take it at 62, we reduce it. But then every month that you wait, it's going to get higher and higher and higher until age 70.
So it's broken down by month.
By month.
1/12 of
Correct.
That normal increase. Now, the other thing that can increase dramatically, rather, is even if you're working, let's back up a moment. What is your Social Security benefit based on in terms of number of years of work?
Great question. It's based on your highest 35 years of work. And what we do is we go back and we index that, bring them up to today's dollar. So what you were earning back in the 70s, 80s, and 90s, we bring those up to today's dollar and come up with an average monthly wage for you. It's individual. It's for what you worked.
So if someone had started work, let's say at age 25, obviously in 35 years, they're 60.
Mm-hmm.
If they're still working between 60 and 65 and those previous years then drop off that were that much lower, that can have a significant impact on their benefit
as well. It sure can.
So, what's a great website for them to seek out to find this?
Okay, what they want to do is we want folks to do is go to our website, socialsecurity.gov. That's .gov. And we want people to go there, and we want them to establish a My Social Security account. We have 69 million Americans have a My Social Security account now. It's been around for 10 years.
Wow.
69 million. And you should have one, too.
I have one.
I've got one.
Because when you were on the show last time,
yes,
you talked about it,
yes.
So I wanted to make sure that I went out and looked it up.
What's great about that?
I have five.
You've
is
got
that okay?
Ron's no rich either.
I guess.
What's great about that account is you can look and see what your earnings were, and it'll give you an estimate. And it's a pretty good estimate of what your benefits are going to be. So it's important that you do that.
Someone's talking in the background.
Yeah.
There we
Sorry
go.
So
that.
There you go.
Hey, no worries.
So go to our website, socialsecurity.gov, and get your own My Social Security account.
It's amazing the number of folks that we've had. We look up their benefits right on the screen there at the office so they can see, all right, here's what I'm going to be collecting at age 62, 65, so they can see those different amounts. And also, when we run the financial plan, for those that want it, we can actually show them the comparison based on their own life expectancy estimates of the dollar differences between collecting even a bit later, let's say full retirement age, let's say at 67, versus having collected at age 62. Often, it's in the $150,000 to $200,000 range in terms of total income.
It's amazing.
It is.
It adds up.
Yes, I see that hand over there.
Yes. I was going to ask you a question along those lines. You had asked Bob, what if somebody decides to begin withdrawing from their IRA or their 401k before they hit their Social Security account?
Yes.
Do you, with a financial plan, have a little bit of a formula if somebody comes into you and says, Dennis, here's what we want to do. Should we start hitting the 401k when we're 64 years old, or should we go to Social Security? Can you help them kind of figure out how that plays out?
Absolutely. So many times, what's interesting is this very article mentions this. Here's a great example. I'll just read this. Gina is also age 61 and has $500,000 in her 401k. Not bad. Here we'll describe Gina as being in excellent health with both parents who lived into their late 80s. Gina is able to keep working until 67, her FRA. We all know what that is now.
Full retirement age.
Thank you. By then, she might have, say, $600,000 in her 401k, perhaps. If Gina retires at age 67, then should she claim Social Security then? Perhaps. But other strategies might be considered. What's interesting is at any point between 62 and 67, she could decide to collect. She could change her mind. All right? Or she could say 67 and 8 months. Any month available is available to start collecting your Social Security benefits.
That is correct.
It's nice to be right once
in a while. And when you're over your full retirement age, there's no earnings test. You can earn whatever you want to and still collect your Social Security benefit.
Save up all those earnings for then.
Yeah.
But other strategies might be considered. She could wait as long as age 70 to start. Assuming a $2,900 monthly benefit, as was the case with Frank, Gina would be doing without 36 months benefits by waiting until age 70 to file, $104,400, which would take her to about age 82, according to this, in terms of breaking even. But the other situation here might be, is someone else going to collect then on her benefit? Perhaps there's a survivor situation. Why either a male or female may decide to wait on collecting those benefits. Right. Because if you pass away, let's say, Bob, in your case, you waited until age 70, but you hit dead man's curve when you're 75. Yep. Theoretically, then, your wife could collect based on her own benefit, or your benefit, had you decided to wait, that much greater, right?
Right.
Could possibly be the case.
The higher record can go on.
Yes.
So if I didn't file, my benefit's going to be really large.
Yes.
And then she'll make out. Good for her.
Yes. So meanwhile, the question is, how will Gina afford a comfortable retirement between 67 and 70? And honestly, Ron, to answer your question, finally, after all of that, it is a generally best practice for advisors to have that conversation with clients about collecting or waiting to collect on your Social Security benefits and drawing that income early from those retirement accounts because of that 8% increase from Social Security that generally occurs.
Okay. Generally.
Generally. You bet.
Couple of quick questions.
You bet.
For Bob, how old do you need to be to set up one of those Social Security online accounts, the My Social Security account?
You need to be 18 years old.
18, so you can set it up.
Yep.
Okay.
18 and adult. Yep, you can do it.
Here's a comment. Someone said, if I knew I was going to live this long, I would have taken better care of myself.
All right. That's true.
That's great.
And here's Medicare. I don't know if you can handle this one. I appealed a higher cost for Medicare premium, A and B, due to reduced income due to retirement. It was approved retroactively back to January 22. The letter did not explain how I'd be refunded the overcharge. Any idea how they might get that overcharge?
Yeah, yeah. What they're talking about is IRMA, and what that is income-related Medicare premium.
She's not a nice person, by the way. Yeah. We don't like IRMA.
We love all the IRMAs out there.
Yes, we do, but just not this IRMA.
But not
right.
This one. So if you have higher income, you're going to pay a higher Medicare premium. Okay. So, and if you are, you'll know about it. We'll send you a letter and say, hey, you're paying a higher premium. If something happens and you retire and your income changes, then you might not have to pay that higher premium. And that's what the person on the text line is saying, that they had a change in their life. Maybe they stopped working, so they didn't have the higher income. And at that point, they don't have to pay the higher premium. So what'll happen is if they need to let us know and file an appeal saying, nope, I should have a lower Medicare premium. They do that. They get approved. And it's going to take a few months for them for everything to get caught up. So this person will receive a refund.
A refund.
They will receive a refund based on the correct Medicare premium.
There is a special form to use for that purpose, too.
Yes.
The one-time waiver, in essence, of the higher Medicare
of the IRMA.
Premium.
That is correct.
The IRMA. Yes.
Correct.
I'm not sure what that form is.
I think it's 4, SS4?
70, something,
know.
Yeah. 60, yeah. 50, 40. Yeah, we don't know the form, but
we
anyway.
We don't know the form, but there is one out there.
There is, yes. Indeed, yes.
All right, one other question before we go to break here. I'm turning 70 in July. I've been collecting off my spousal benefit. Do I need to contact Social Security to increase for my full benefit when I turn 70.
Yes, you need to call us.
Okay.
Give us a call and say, hey, and say the exact thing you just told us. And we can look it up and see if you're entitled to more money.
So next question, post here in this article. When do you plan to retire, and is the current estimate realistic? So,
yes.
Any comments on
that? Yes, the answer is yes. If you go to the My Social Security account and look at the estimate that we have for your own retirement benefit, it's pretty darn close. And it will also tell you what you could, what your survivors would be eligible for.
Yes.
So, and if you have any children that are eligible on your account, we'll tell you how much your children could get off of your record, either a life benefit or a death benefit.
Fantastic. And to keep in mind, too, that many are very surprised that their retirement ages are younger than they had anticipated when they're planning younger or planning at a younger point for their retirement age. We were referencing the class that you attended, Retirement Planning Today,
yes.
Actually, Bob.
Yes.
I think it was January or so of this year. The estimated retirement age is much later than most would think. They hadn't anticipated retiring quite so early because of sometimes situations out of their control and or within their control. They said, all right, I'm done, whatever it is.
And,
Heidi.
Yeah, I just had a question for Bob. When you were talking about the website, and we go out there and we're looking at our projected benefits, right?
Yes.
Is it you're using some assumptions there, right? Like we're going to stay at the same salary, or you know, we're going to work till a certain age? Because I just wanted to point that out to people. They're assuming you're going to keep working until that date, so. You know, those all those things go into the formula, correct?
Oh, very much so. And it, if it looks and says your benefit at age 62 or versus 67, this is what your benefit would be. We also have calculators on our website where you can go and say, well, what if I retire at 58? What would my benefit be?
Mm-hmm.
And that would throw that in, you know, that would change stuff.
That's going to change the
that,
number.
That will change it, yeah. But the assumptions on the estimate is, yeah, you're going to keep working. So, great point. Yeah. Again, we need the plan.
Yes, you need to, you can say, I'm going to retire earlier and then get a more accurate estimate from
right.
that.
Yes.
Bet, from
right,
SSA.
But yeah, I just want people to keep in mind that, you know, oh, that benefit's great. I'll retire today. Well, that's going to impact that.
Yeah, the benefit that you receive if you still receive the paper estimate would be assuming you're still working,
yes.
And we have a question here, Ron. Is that accurate?
Yes, sir. We have on the line today for our panel from Prompt Financial Design and Social Security, Charlie is in Traverse City. Hello, Charlie.
Yeah, pleasant. Good morning.
Yes.
Hey, good morning.
Question. I just turned 69, and I retired from my first career at 62 and then went into my next career. I found myself, I started collecting my Social Security, but my last 2 years have been a higher income than I ever made in my previous career. Will that impact my Social Security positively?
Hi, Charlie. Yes, it will be a positive effect. And what you can do if you want to, you could submit your W-2s to us and we'll make sure that they are calculated in your benefit that you're getting. Or if you just don't do anything, we'll do it automatically. Once the IRS does their thing, we will recalculate and recompute your benefit. So the odds are, if those are your best years, Charlie, those are going to wipe out a couple of those low years because we take those highest 35 years. So you should see an increase in benefit. Now, it's not going to be huge, Charlie. I mean, you know, don't go bet the farm, okay?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's better than a poke in the arm with a sharp stick, though.
Right. It's going to be, you know, you will receive an increase. So good for you, Charlie. Way to go.
Okay. Hey, thank you very much for your time.
You're welcome.
Okay, welcome. Great question. So before we get into more Social Security things, there's some actually related stuff to that. Normally, what's the Shea stats, but today it's the Heidi stats.
Heidi stats.
Let's talk about that, shall we?
So, hey, let's talk about in the last 91 trading days since the closing at an all-time high on January 3rd of 2022, the S&P 500 has fallen 15.7% total return through last Friday, May 13th, 2022. So that doesn't include this week.
Right.
I'll just point that out. Okay, from December 31st in 2019 to December 31st of 2021, the value of all U.S. individual stocks increased by $19.5 trillion, or 57%, to $53.4 trillion, before falling $5.1 trillion, or 10%, in the first quarter of 2022 to a value of $48.3 trillion. And that comes from the Sybilis Research Institute. So that just shows, like, we had a big increase in value before this fall. So
we sure did. You bet. It's a correction for sure. You bet.
So
significant numbers. Yeah.
So 63% of 1,018 American adults surveyed in April of 2022 are very worried or moderately worried about having enough money accumulated for retirement, and that comes from Gallup. A campaign promise. President Joe Biden is considering limiting up to $10,000 of student loan debt per borrower, action that may be done through an executive order issued by him. This would cost U.S. taxpayers an estimated $377 billion, wiping out 24% of the $1.59 trillion of total student debt, and would eliminate completely the student loan debt held by 33% of all borrowers. And that comes from the White House.
Wow. Okay.
Well, why go to college if you can't get a job where you can get paid enough to pay back your debts?
It's sort of shocking the amount that's involved in that decision.
It really is.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. A lot.
Yeah.
Surprising. Yeah.
So the three most affordable housing markets in the U.S. today are, anyone want to guess?
Pittsburgh.
Okay, I think that's cheating. Pittsburgh, Oklahoma City, and Rochester, New York. And that comes from the Frontier Center for Public Policy.
Wow. I remembered that because our son and daughter-in-law lived in Pittsburgh for a while there while he was doing his medical training. So,
well, good for you. You got one. Those would not be the cities that I would have guessed if I didn't have this piece of paper in front of me.
You bet. All right. Thanks, Heidi. Now, to dive right back into this, and again, if you do have a question, feel free to call and or text. And those numbers, again, if you would, please, Ron.
On the text line, it's 237-7855, or just call on the line. It's studio lines 947-0023.
All right. Great. We okay with our timing here?
Yes, sir.
Excellent. So, number four, what is your estimated Social Security benefit at FRA for retirement age? Is there any opportunity to increase the benefit amount? Indeed, there may well be.
Oh, yeah. Like Charlie, our caller.
Yes.
Keep working and pay your taxes. Mm. And if you have a great year, we're going to recalculate it.
Wow.
And your full retirement age, your benefits is going to keep getting larger.
You know, Heidi, you had made an estimate, or rather a comment, before the radio show when we were talking with Bob about how some people really underestimate the value of a pension.
Correct.
Yeah, and you had talked about that in terms of a $500 a month benefit. But as we were talking, I was starting to talk about this, I was thinking about that as a great explanation. You know, what if you could increase your benefit by $500 a month? In terms of a lump sum equivalent, if you were drawing at a 4% rate, mm-hmm. a $500 a month benefit is worth about $150,000.
Wow.
That is not, you know, chump change.
No.
It really does make a difference. So those higher dollar amounts, really take a look at that and do not discount the mm-hmm. difference that can make for you for your retirement.
Right. And I brought that up because a lot of time in meetings with clients, they'll come in and say, oh, well, I have this pension from where I worked when I was younger. It's not very much. But, you know, if they have a couple of employers like that, it can add up to something. It can add something on top of what you get from Social Security, which gives you a higher base income to go from to be able to, you know, have a nice retirement and be able to meet your expenses. So every little piece is important, and Social Security is one of those pieces of the puzzle, and that's why it's important to take a look at it.
It is indeed. Now, of course, I think what's probably rising in people's minds is, what about that number out there in 2034 when all this tends to disintegrate somewhat? Let's talk about that, Bob.
Yeah, we're talking about solvency. Is like, how solvent is a Social Security trust fund?
Yes.
Well, what is the trust fund? The trust fund is where you pay Social Security tax, and you pay, it's kept in treasuries, is what the Social Security trust funds is invested in. And it's solvent through 2032, 34, in that range. And what we at Social Security, we always try to explain what's going on with that. And we always say, hey, it's an opportunity. Do we need to address this? And ask the politicians, what do we need to do? Do we need to tweak it? What are the options to keep that longevity going? Because it's there for everybody. 1 in 6 people in the entire country receive a check from Social Security. 1 in 4 in Leland County.
That's right.
Is that right? It is 1 in 4.
1 in 4.
Wow. Well, no wonder you're so popular.
There you go. But 1 in 6 in the entire country. So it's a bedrock of our entire economy. Mm-hmm. So it's really important. So it really behooves our politicians to get together and say, let's come up with a solution to solve the solvency problem and keep the longevity going for a long, long time.
What happens if they don't, though?
Okay, if they don't do anything, what'll happen is the benefits will continue, but they'll be slashed to about 70-75%. Mm-hmm.
Because that's the level of current revenue that's coming in from those who are paying their tax. So it's about 75%, according to what I've seen.
Yep.
You get a 75% benefit. Well, should I have waited then? Worst case scenario in that event, then your benefit, because you've waited, mm-hmm. if you had, mm-hmm. would then be 75% to that greater amount.
Exactly. Yeah. 75%.
And it could be the sooner that they take a look at this, the less drastic the resolution has to be or the fix has to be to make it a healthy situation.
It's like paying off your mortgage. If you pay it off a little more extra per month, you pay it off a lot sooner.
It's incredible. If they made moderate changes, and we've talked about this, but mm-hmm. instead of the full retirement age maybe being 67, maybe for someone who's 50 years old, it turns it graduates to, let's say, age 70. And or they put the regular retirement age for those who are under 50, and maybe instead of 62, maybe it's 64 or 65, making those small adjustments, it would be really interesting from an actuarial standpoint.
Right.
Those numbers could be significantly different. Right. And all of a sudden, it's no longer 2034. It's perhaps 2060 or 2070, whatever that is. The other side, huge benefit to that, would be an increasing level of confidence by the younger set in going ahead and being willing, if you will, to pay those taxes, which for Social Security, what does a person pay who collects a regular wage as a percent of their income to Social Security?
6.45%.
Yes.
Of their wages.
And their employer pays.
And their employer pays 6.45%.
Thank you.
And if you're self-employed, you're both the employer and the employee.
And you get to pay it off.
You pay it all.
You get to
exactly.
pay the whole thing. But, so that is 12.9%, to be accurate. It's almost 13% of your income that's going in to pay for your Social Security benefits.
But it's really important. I always like to point it out that you're not only paying for a retirement insurance, but you're also paying for a survivor benefit and also for disability.
Yes.
So if you're 25 years old and you're working, you keep thinking, oh, Social Security's not there for me. Yeah, it's there for you right now. If you become disabled, you have a disability benefit there. Or if you pass away, your child or your spouse is eligible for a benefit.
So if you have a larger family, the impact of not being on Social Security would be devastating.
Exactly.
Let's say a guy in the family passes away. He's only 45 years old. Mm-hmm. She then, given that her children, now just hers, are younger than what age?
Under age 18.
Under age 18, yep. She can collect a significant survivor benefit.
Right.
And what is that amount per child approximately? The
children are, a survivor child is able to get 75% of the full retirement amount for the worker who died. So it's huge. It's a big insurance. It's a life insurance policy is what it is.
Yeah. Yep. To help her, in this case, survive these children in their younger ages because she's got a survivor income.
Right. So if you're younger and you have a My Social Security account, go and look and you can see what your life insurance policy is. You'll see what your survivor would be eligible to
receive.
Survivor
benefit.
Yeah.
You bet. We have a question here, Ron?
Yes. Joining us now from Fife Lake, Bruce is on the line. Good morning, Bruce.
Yes, good morning.
Yeah.
Good morning,
Bruce.
Hi, Bruce. We were talking about how soon Social Security might be depleted or the issues that are coming up. Is my understanding right that the problem is that for all the years us older folks paid in, they dipped in and took that money, so whatever's coming in has tried to keep up with stuff?
Well, you know, what you're looking at is the entire budget over the entire country, okay, over the U.S. government. Social Security benefits, they have to pay what Social Security, we take it out of the trust funds, so we have to do it that way. That's the only way we are funded. Now, does the government borrow against? Yeah, they do. They do.
So a lot of money that should be in there isn't there because they've used it for other things. Is that correct?
It's an accounting problem. And it is a problem.
Okay.
All right.
That's what I thought, because otherwise we would have more in there to work with.
All right, Charlie in Fife Lake there. Thanks for the call there. Bruce in Fife Lake.
That was Bruce.
We do have a text cup question here. I'm 64 years old, been on disability for 5 years. When do I start drawing Social Security?
Okay. If you're drawing a Social Security disability benefit, we figure your disability as if you are at your full retirement age. So what's going to happen if you're 64, when your full retirement age of 66, 67, the benefit's just going to convert to a retirement, and it's the exact same amount. Okay. You're not even going to see a difference. So you don't need to do anything. Your benefit's going to continue just like normal.
Can disabled children draw a parent's Social Security after they turn 18?
Yes, they can. If you are disabled, if the child is disabled before age 22, then they can draw benefits off their parents' record. Right. So, and again, that's one of the questions we ask when people file for Social Security. We say, do you have any disabled children? Were they disabled before age 22? Because we're looking for that.
Okay.
Yeah.
And this one's kind of general. I don't know if you can address it. A text that says, will you talk about divorce and Social Security?
Right. Very good. Very good. We ask those questions about the marriage. And you have to be married more than 10 years. If you're married more than 10 years and then the marriage dissolves, what we would do is you're able to go back on that person's record, possibly on a life benefit or a death benefit.
To any person you've been married to for more than 10 years,
right?
Let's say it were two or three people, then you can collect on the highest benefit from that individual.
So you can pick and choose which one.
Yeah.
Indeed.
You can. Indeed. So we're going to ask, you know, like Dennis, you said you got three wives, Dennis, you know, three of them going on. We're going to ask you, which wife do you want to collect off of?
Kansas City.
Yeah, no kidding. Wow. So, number five question was, have you ever been married? So that makes a significant difference as to what you can collect.
It does.
Now, let's say you're over 60 and you decide to get married the fourth time in this event, in this case. Would that have an impact on you being able to collect from the previous three marriages?
It sure can. It sure can. Because if you are over age 60 and the person is alive, okay, then that marriage isn't going to have a problem. But if you're married after age 60, you can go back on a deceased spouse's record and draw off their record.
Regardless of whether or not you're married now?
Correct.
As long as you're over 60.
Because you're married after age 60.
Okay, we're going to give a quiz on this later.
Yeah.
So if you're 59 and you're thinking about getting married, you might want to wait until you're 60.
You might want to wait. Okay. And what you could do is you could call Social Security and say, hey, I've been married before, and what happens if I get married? How's that going to play into that? And we'll let you know.
Right. And Bob, there's also a difference between survivor benefits when you've been married and you're now divorced, and actually a worker benefit, a spousal benefit that claiming. Can you explain the difference between the survivor and the worker benefit?
A life benefit is half of the full retirement age. Okay. Now, a widow's benefit can get as much or as little as 71.5% at age 60. So a death benefit pays more money than a life benefit. And your options are there. Mm-hmm. So that's why we want you to talk to your planners, talk to Social Security and say, hey, this is my situation. What are my options?
Yeah, here's a great quote here. If there were multiple marriages that lasted for 10 or more years, the one that could produce the highest auxiliary benefit for Mary Jane, in this case, may be used. If Mary Jane chose to give marriage another go, however, any payment she was receiving under Ned's record, one of her previous husbands, would stop unless that remarriage ended in divorce, annulment, or death.
Hmm. Right.
All right. That
is correct. So a lot of variables in there, folks.
Yes.
A lot of variables.
And then, Bob, we had another thing that we talked about was another number that's important was, I think it was 2 years. So if you married after you were 60 and you wanted to draw off of your current spouse's record, you have to be married a certain amount of time, correct?
Okay, there's a few things going on with that. Let's say you are divorced and your ex-spouse is not drawing benefits.
Right.
Okay. You can't go back onto that spouse's record until you're divorced for 2 years.
That's it.
After 2 years, you can go on your ex-spouse's record, even though they haven't filed for Social Security benefits yet. Now, say they're 63, you're 63, and you're divorced for 2 years, and they're not drawing. If you're divorced for 2 years, you can go on their record, even though they're not drawing benefits. Okay. We call it an independently entitled divorced spouse's benefit.
Jeez.
Wow. Yeah. No kidding.
Look at that again. Independently
entitled divorced spouse.
Okay.
And he's not using notes. He's just
ripping this off. So let's say you're age 80. Your spouse collected a higher benefit than you. He or she passes away. How does Social Security handle that?
Which
benefit do you get? How does that work?
You get the higher record. Okay, the higher record's going to be going. Let's say you're drawing 1,800 and your spouse is getting 2,000. Your spouse dies. You're going to drop to 1,800 and pick up to 2,000.
Right. That's a survivor benefit.
But you only get one.
You only get one.
Right.
Yep. So we have about a minute left.
All right.
So this is an easy one. I know somebody texted, what is the amount of money that can be made prior to full retirement age while you're collecting Social Security? Is that around like 20,000 or something?
Prior to full retirement ages, actually.
Okay. Prior to
between
full
the age of 62 and 67, approximately.
You can earn $19,560 per year and still collect your Social Security. If you go over that, we withhold $1 for every $2 that you go over for benefits for the year.
And that number changes every year.
Goes up every year.
It increases every year. Yes, it does. So that's another important consideration. So in terms of planning, Social Security benefits, huge in terms of the big picture. Make certain that you know the facts. And how do they get a hold of you in the local Social Security office?
We want folks to do is call us at 1-800-772-1213. You can call us. That's from 8 in the morning to 7 at night.
Bob Simpson from Social Security, the district manager for Northern Michigan. Heidi Cartwright from Prout Financial Design. Good to have everybody back in the studio. And Mr. Dennis Prout, Prout Financial Design, as always.
Great to be here, Ron. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Thanks so much for listening. You can find us online at proutfinancialdesign.com. That's Prout financialdesign.com.
Also, you'll be able to find us on iTunes and SoundCloud.